friends, welcome to 2021. A new year is upon us, and we are pretty sure we hear a collective finally being echoed all across the globe. There is nothing quite as refreshing as a brand new year, and with the kind we just had, we are sure you are all ready to get doodling on the clean slate that is 2021 with renewed energy. That being said, we've got a little New Year's gift for you all. One that we hope will help you as you realign and plan for what's to come in 2021. Smart Delegation, A Fresh Take is an ebook we put together with you in mind. It's a quick and easy read that packs a punch, if we do say so ourselves. It includes tools to assist you, strategies to empower you, and fresh perspectives to equip you as you plot out your year, making the most out of such a simple key strategy, delegation. Download your own copy through smartvas.online now. However you decide to approach the new year, we hope this little gift gives you a renewed perspective on a classic strategy and impacts your business in a positive way all year round. Cheers, everyone! Hey friends, thank you so much for tuning in to the Delegate Your Way to Success podcast. I appreciate your support and I hope the new year is treating you good. And I hope that you are all able to commit to your New Year's resolution goals. So my guest for today is Kevin Allen. Kevin is a Silicon Valley industry veteran with over 20 years of business experience in product management, marketing, and entrepreneurship. He has overseen development and launch and marketed dozens of new products while at Nortel Networks, Netgear, Fidelithon Systems, and other similar companies while growing revenues in excess of $200 million. He has started and invested in multiple companies and provides business strategy and growth insight services at his current company, The Sizzle. In today's episode, we talked about why it is important to have goals and why it is also important to know what you want to do and implementing your goals and setting key performance indicator to measure your success and many more. I'm so excited for you to know more about Kevin Allen. So let's get started. Hey, 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 you are listening to the Delegate Your Way to Success podcast. My name is Christy Yoro, your host. Do you feel burnout, tired, overwhelmed? Do you want to live a freedom-filled lifestyle while growing your business? Then you are in the right place. If you are an entrepreneur who wants to boost your business while making the most out of your life, then listen to this podcast as I share valuable information and practical tips. Hang out with me while I sit with incredible entrepreneurs with authentic and real-life stories of failing, getting back up, and creating a life and career entirely out of their design. Don't miss out on a fun and engaging episode because you will definitely learn a thing or two here at the Delegate Your Way to Success podcast. And we're live. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Delegate Your Way to Success podcast. Today, I am with Kevin Allen. How are you doing today, Kevin?
Christy, I'm doing great. It's good to hear from you, and I'm excited to have a good conversation.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to know more about how you help businesses with strategies and creating solid plans and also implementing an outsourcing model to scale their business. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do before we dive in?
Sure, yeah. So I'm a Silicon Valley veteran of many years. I have a background in business. I have an MBA from Santa Clara University. It's also in the Silicon Valley. And been with a number of different types of companies, scaling from early stage, very early stage startups who've had very successful exits. In other words, you know, whether it be an IPO or being purchased by another company. I mean, there's a bit of, you know, it's not always the unicorn billion-dollar companies that are become successful. And it really depends on what your strategy is. But my background is early stage companies, as well as being an active participant in very large enterprise level companies. So I have a pretty good perspective of what businesses are trying to accomplish, the sense of urgency in smaller early stage companies, and then more mature companies require another different type of aspect. And usually that's managing to the quarter. In other words, if they're a publicly traded company, they got to make sure that their financials and the products are shipped or they're introduced or, you know, meeting all the various goals in that respect. So bringing that in and then coming up with a company that can help coach or help bring other types of insight into these early stage companies specifically, I think that's a big asset. And it dovetails into the whole idea of delegating, because not everybody that starts a new company knows everything. And even if you've gone through that, time changes, the environment changes, the market environment changes as well. So having somebody that has some insight that perhaps someone can, if need be, bring in the coach or bring in the team that can sort of help set things up and set the parameters for success.
Right. So you've worked with a lot of startup companies. So what do you think is the biggest struggle or challenge of an early startup company?
I think one of the biggest things is you're inside the tornado, right? So the whole concept of, you know, trying to do all these things while there's just chaos happening, right? You're under pressure for these, especially early stage companies. You know, they have their investors that, you know, they understand what you're trying to accomplish and stuff, but at the end of the day, they still want to make sure that their investment is successful. So, and then, you know, bringing in talent and being able to, you know, successfully define what you want to accomplish on a short-term basis and then a long-term basis. And, you know, one of the things that people in a lot of cases aren't really aware of is, you know, you need to be a constant cheerleader. To have people, you know, come in with this early stage and be able to be excited when they come in there and putting together the team and making sure that the team works together. I think one of the biggest challenges for small business or early stage businesses also is their ability to articulate a very clear story about what they're trying to accomplish and being able to manipulate that over time, because sometimes it's, you don't get it on the first shot, but it's very important to get 70% of that story correct right away. And then you can kind of hone it. So I think early stage companies and getting a clear message is probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah, letting people know why you do what you do is, I think, very important, because people can start a business on their own nowadays. Your cousin, your grandmother, your father, your mother, right. Anyone can start a business. But I think it's important to know like why you're doing it. And I think you need to cast out your vision to your team members and also to your customers, so they will support you in return.
I agree. And one of the things that sometimes people think, you know, they're so close to perhaps their product or their service or whatever type of offering that they have. And sometimes they get caught up in believing their own messaging and maybe kind of get insulated from testing that your message to someone else, to your grandmother, you know, to some people, to really simplify that message. Admittedly, there are types of products that it's very hard to shake down. It's, you know, some inner core in an enterprise that, you know, it's conceptually, it's hard for people to grasp. And it's easier if you have a widget, you know, and be able to talk about this widget and how you can use it in your home. You know, it's much easier that way. But one of the things that is very important is to be able to convey that in a concise level, you know, the 30-second, you know, the elevator pitch, as they call it. Mm-hmm. Where you're just, you have your story down and you can provide the features and benefits of why, what it's relevant for your, you know, for your company.
Right. And so the people that you have helped with before, what specific problem do they want you to solve for them? Is there like a common problem that, you know, early businesses struggle with or have in common?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, right? Because it really depends on if you're making a piece, you know, like I said, a widget, just a concept widget, mm-hmm. you know, how are you going to manufacture this thing? What's the supply chain for that versus, you know, somebody wants to start a business that is, you know, maybe a software business, which is a little bit different, or perhaps somebody's, you know, trying to grow their business, right? They may have their business started, but it's just not getting traction. So I wouldn't say that there's necessarily a one thing that's super common, and it's dangerous to Well, I wouldn't say it's dangerous to generalize that way. We try to very much focus very specifically on what the needs are and be able to convey that back, to paraphrase and to get that down in documentation and such, so that we can deliver that back to them so that they can understand, okay, here's where the strategy is, here's where the caveats are, and being able to divide the wasted time for more quality time to get to their goals.
Yeah, right. That's true. And so, because I really want to understand like how exactly you help businesses. So like, for instance, when I come to you for help, what is the very first thing that you're going to ask me, or what is the first thing that you're going to audit?
Right. Yeah. So the first thing, the questionnaire essentially is, you know, what are your goals? And if they're not clearly articulating that, obviously that's the main problem, right? And it may be that somebody's trying to revamp. They've already been in the business, but they're not, they want to revamp what's going on. So the idea of what is your specific goal here? Do you want, is it driving revenue? And we have certain different models for that, right? So do you want to grow your business geographically? Do you want to do it through a new type of channel? Mm-hmm. You know, do you want to come out with a, you know, product line extension, different products and such? Because any one of those will, if you think of a three-dimensional graph, if you do any one of those, you're going to increase your revenue. So one of the ways that we would try to figure out what they're trying to accomplish. And again, if the revamping, it could be as simple as revamping a message, right? We're not getting our message across. People aren't grasping what we're doing here. And the idea behind that is that if you change your messaging good enough, then you perhaps have a wider addressable market, right? Which would provide the capability of more revenue. You're getting more eyeballs, you're getting more ears, you know, and then there's also the whole, you know, word of mouth that's beneficial for that. So messaging, it could be something as simple as coming up with marketing messaging and changing, you know, what you're trying to do in that respect. So as part of the questionnaire would be, what do you want? I mean, as simple as, you know, it sounds really blunt, but to shake it down, it's like, what do you want? And if it's, hey, we want to drive revenue, or we just want better visibility into this particular market, or we're planning to launch into Latin America and we need help in terms of being able to, you know, establish a channel there, contacts there, what do we need to do? You know, what are the caveats to be able to do that kind of stuff and time frame to make that happen? Yeah. So that's kind of it. It's there's no one silver bullet that solves it all. And that's why I think in a lot of cases, there are businesses out there, there are large corporations out there, there are consultant firms, and perhaps that they kind of have this well-worn group thing. They'll come in and they'll want to attack it at, you know, in a certain direction. And I think we have a little bit more of a better touch in terms of what's necessary for that. And, you know, working with companies with a global footprint helps.
Yeah, I agree. Like those two questions that you have, what is your specific goal and what do you want? I think they're very important, because you cannot start a business without a goal and without knowing what you want. So how long have you been in the business industry?
So I've been, in the Silicon Valley probably about 25 years. So I've had about 30 years now. So I've seen a drastic change in sort of how things were done. As I'd mentioned before, when I first came to Silicon Valley, it was, you know, Sun Microsystems and Silicon Graphics and these companies that were, you know, they were the cutting edge at the time, you know, the various workstations, and they've come and gone and were bought out or went away, or they just couldn't keep up. And that's one of the big things about the topic of this conversation is delegation and such, and just being able to recognize that the sense of urgency and being able to grasp what's going on in the market and have an effective way to address that and to continue to stay relevant and continue to stay ahead of competition. I think that's far and away one of the big messages that we're trying to convey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you said about staying relevant. So how do you think like a business would be able to stay relevant and continue to keep up with the ever-changing world that we have right now?
Right. This is going to sound really strange, but I wrote a blog at the website at thesizzle.com. And one of them was, you know, with this whole COVID thing going on right now, the pressures that are happening with the various businesses. And one of them is, you know, restaurants, right? There's real trouble with restaurants right now. But the irony is that a lot of these restaurants don't have a simple thing as a website. They don't have a website, and which is, well, maybe about 60%, I think the number was 60 to 70% have a website, but here there are 30% that aren't on the internet. And it may be that they can't, you know, they don't understand it. Maybe they're intimidated by it, or it may be that I can't maintain the website or whatever it is. But something as simple as when your doors are closed after hours and somebody wants to find out information about your business, maybe they're going to go there tomorrow. Maybe they're going to order out lunch for their company, which could be a very lucrative for your business, right? for this restaurant. If they can't get some of that information other than just a call during business hours, that's just odd in this day and age in 2021 that 30% of small businesses don't have a website and don't have an internet presence.
Right. And I think being relevant has something to do with being creative as well, because you cannot stay relevant if you're not creative enough to find ways how to put your business out there. So have you worked with a lot of businesses during COVID? What was their main struggle?
So right now, you know, it depends. I mean, there are some businesses that are sort of impermeable to being impacted by COVID. And then there are other businesses that are very much like the food service industry, you know, restaurants and such, retail and such. Those are much more. Currently, we're working with a company that is installing antennas for 5G, you know, cellular. So that's hot, right? That's
happening. Yes, it is. Right? Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if COVID's here or not, you know, other than maybe some logistics as to how you meet with people and such. But there are things that are happening. There are market forces that are pushing that along. So in other instances, it is where companies that are impacted by COVID that perhaps are closed, or how can they reinvent themselves, or how can they go from, hey, we're a sit-down restaurant, for example, or if you're a retail company, maybe perhaps installing kiosks and stuff such that people can purchase something and they don't have to go into the store necessarily. So we've done a few things that in all of those aspects. Our main thrust right now is this 5G thing. But yeah, so the strategy there is being creative, trying different ideas, don't be afraid, and evolving and not being kind of stuck in a certain, you know, a certain mindset. Because I think that when you talk about messaging, or when you talk about, you know, if somebody, a manufacturer, is creating widgets, sometimes the engineers are brilliant. They put together this product and sometimes it'll sell itself. And I think a lot of these early stage startups think that that's going to happen and that they're not going to be throwing money towards marketing or, you know, outreach or social media or those types of things. And some of these companies, and or small businesses, I should say, you know, they're intimidated by social media. Social media is something that you have to stay on all, you know, they think that social media is something I have to stay on daily. I have to creating content on a regular level. And to some extent, you know, content creation is very important, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be on top of social media all the time. And if it is in a market where there's a lot of competition in that, you can certainly outsource that, right? You can delegate out. Yeah. Other small businesses or even, you know, contractors that are very savvy and, you know, can get you higher up in the search, you know, an organic search and such. And so the answers are out there. It's just a matter of putting together the puzzle and make it fit right. And you don't have to have it all. And some people feel as though they have to do it all themselves. And the idea of delegating is hard, right? Because
it is, yeah.
You have to trust that other person or that small business there is going to do it for you. You have a certain amount of money, a budget or whatever like that. And like, I need to make sure I get bang for the buck. So, you know, getting references and stuff is important. But yes, having that faith or keeping your larger goal in mind, saying, hey, look, if I really want to get to that goal, I'm going to need to bring more people in, or I'm going to need to figure out a way to bring not necessarily employees in, but, you know, contractors and such to get these goals done. And then as time goes on, maybe bring more people in. And that taking that first baby step is hard for some people.
Hey, sorry for the interruption. Are you liking what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you so much for your support. And if you are interested in hiring a virtual assistant for your business, visit smartvas.online to find out more. Now back to the show. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's one thing to have a goal for your business. It's another thing to implement and execute those goals. And most of the time, business owners cannot do them all alone. Like, they need help from other people, unless they're Superman or Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as much as everyone points at Steve Jobs from Apple, you know, and how brilliant he was, he also had, you know, Steve Wozniak, who was the guy that was actually building the computers and building all the stuff. And Steve Jobs, you know, he worked at Atari before that, which was another, you know, video game company at the time. You know, he had some aspects of how to market and such, but without Wozniak and without, you know, some other folks that were really pushing the envelope, it wouldn't have been as successful as it was. And, you know, he may have been just some kind of person that in the history history of Silicon Valley kind of came and went and without making as big of an impact. But, you know, the idea that there's this trust and that there's this gut feel, there's references, right? So you put this whole package together and go, okay, yeah, okay, I understand this. I believe that this probably is the way to go if I'm going to try to get to my goal, whatever that is, right? It may not necessarily be giant revenue. It may be that I want to be the biggest part of this particular niche market, Guatemalan foods, you know, or something like this, right? In the US or in the West Coast, you know, that may not be something that you want to expand out to Florida or whatever like that. It's just, I want to be the best at this. So again, that comes down to, you know, what your goals are and then what kind of resources would be necessary in order to meet those goals.
Exactly.
And then, like you said, then there's one thing to get all the data, but then actually acting on it, you know, and actually, you know, putting the plan together and then setting the performance indicators of what you're trying to accomplish, right? Have we got these other, there may be milestones or maybe some other, you know, how many web hits we get or, you know, whatever that is, right? I mean, you set it up however you need to do
it. Yeah, you need to measure your success.
That's right. Yeah. And so, you know, all these performance measurements and the KPIs and the key performance indicators would tell you, okay, are we getting towards our, you know, towards that goal? Now, if you put all these KPIs up, all these performance indicators, but if you've defined your goal not that well, you could be out in the weeds. You could have reached that goal, but that goal wasn't defined correctly. So, so there's a challenge, right? And there's a, you know, somebody coming out of Harvard Business School may have a lot of information related to best practices for the time and, you know, the latest and greatest. But, you know, there's something to be said about industry experience and people that have kind of been in the industry to provide the caveats and, hey, this, I've seen this work in this way before. If you tweak it this way, implement some of these new methods, you know, the latest and greatest, we can try that. Perhaps it's less expensive or it'll get you to this goal quicker. I mean, there's so many different, I mean, that's what's great about right now, even though we're in this COVID world, that it forces change and it forces innovation. And that's great for business. And that's great for a lot of business owners to try to meet their goals.
Right. So far what I'm getting, you know, from you, you know, what I'm learning from you is that first you have to have a specific goal. And the second, you have to have people to implement those goals and execute those goals for you. And then third, you have to have key performance indicator to measure how successful what you're doing is. So you've been in the business industry for 30 years. In the last 30 years, there's a lot of changes. And I want to know, how did you continue to be on top of things, you know, in order to stay relevant?
Right. Yeah. So part of it is proximity. The one thing that I was, you know, proximity to Silicon Valley was important. As much as people want to, you know, this virtual, especially with COVID right now, everyone working from home or maybe even moving out of Silicon Valley and still working with Silicon Valley organizations, but, you know, in Lake Tahoe or, you know, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, or heck, you know, in London, England, or, you know, simple, or else I guess that I shouldn't say London because that's super expensive, but, you know, less, less expensive place to live. And that's, you know, those are good things, but I think proximity is important as well. I'm not a Luddite to say that, you know, having a virtual group to come up with your products, it certainly opens up the talent pool, right? So not all the great talent is in Silicon Valley or in, you know, some other, in Taipei, Taiwan, or wherever. Right. And opening that up and providing the ability to bring in the best talent anywhere in the world is very great. However, there is this proximity, the opportunities, the conversations that happen when you're at work or when you're in the Silicon Valley. I mean, I remember when I first moved out to Santa Clara that the company I worked for had a sandwich shop right nearby there. And just going to the sandwich shop and sitting down and having lunch, you could hear all these conversations from all over, like everywhere in the restaurant. And it was, you know, all the trends that were going on. I mean, not that, you know, you sit there and want to eavesdrop, but it was almost unavoidable. You know, it was almost through osmosis that you're learning all of these new things. So, you know, keeping up with the trade publications, whatever your, you know, whatever aspects of what your focus is, the websites, those types of things, setting up Google alerts and such, you know, that was important to being able to, you know, understand what the trends are and staying relevant. Also, just doing training, software tools and such, you know, understanding what the latest software tools can do for you. What, you know, because I mean, 30 years ago, Salesforce.com didn't exist. And now it's the, you know, it's the 800 pound gorilla in its particular sector. Same thing with search engines, you know, Google wasn't around. And suddenly there were plenty of search engines in the late 90s that were out there. It's just their algorithm was far superior And without getting into too much of the history of it, they worked out a deal where they would show up on, I think it was a Netscape or one of these other ones where, you know, you had a browser, but then you also had the search engine component and you could just click on Google and away you went. And because they had combinations of the right stuff, they became highly successful. So I think that, you know, opportunity, being able to recognize opportunity and following that, following some of your gut feel and being able to associate with the right set of people, you know, that's kept me, you know, relevant and understanding what's going on and just, you know, asking the questions and understanding pain points and being, you know, trying to innovate based upon some of the pain points to solve these pain points. Because I mean, at the end of the day, that's what a lot of businesses are, is, you know, they're either trying to, you know, it's the old Harvard Business School thing. Is your company providing, you know, an aspirin or a vitamin, right? In a lot of cases, people are in pain, you know, their company is struggling for whatever reason. And so here's what perhaps maybe your messaging would be to, you know, solve that problem. But there are other companies out there that are like, hey, it's a vitamin. You need to, you know, our product provides, you know, this and it keeps your company healthy or it keeps you conceptually, you know, it's a healthy thing. It's a harder sell because when you're in pain, you want something quick, and those types of businesses are a little bit easier to work with and they get better traction quicker. But there, again, it just kind of depends on when you talk to these companies, when you first start to understand what they're, you know, what they are trying to accomplish. Are you solving a pain point or are you trying to provide health, business health, or, you know, just lifestyle health as such?
Right. And it can be both. You can be solving a pain point and you can be providing, you know, something that's valuable, right, to those people as well.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, again, what you don't want to do is paint yourself into a corner and say, all we do is this or all we do is that. I mean, being able to, and also just, it creates a wider addressable audience, addressable market too. So that's
right.
I think they, a lot of these companies, you know, one of the first things that they do if they're putting together perhaps a pitch, you know, for investors is, you know, they need to talk about the financials and they need to talk about the concepts and they need to talk about, you know, who you have for your talent and who the competitors are and all these things. But the other thing is, you know, the addressable market and being able to understand how big of a market that their product or their service or whatever they're trying to convey, what that audience, how big that audience is, and expanding that audience is great. And if you're saying, hey, I just only want this very small, or if you're not correctly framing what your business is, you're going to have a very small audience. And two things that will happen: either you won't sell a lot, or whatever the service they're offering you, you have to charge a lot of money. And that's a longer sales cycle. And it's, you know, it's a tougher sell sometimes, but, you know, so it depends, right? So, I mean, trying to put all these businesses kind of in one, you know, nutshell, it's hard to do. And it's not healthy to do it that way. And that's why having an open mind when you go in to talk to businesses, and whatever size, again, what are your goals? What, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? And then setting the entire roadmap of how do you get to that success, and then getting buy-in and then implementing it. And as you mentioned earlier, as we talked about earlier, is measuring it and then setting future goals, right? So, okay,
yeah,
you got that goal. Well, you know, the dog caught the car after chasing it years, and now what do? You know, so it's like, here's the next thing.
Yeah. Well, I love those things that you said. Great insight. So I'm down to my last question. Like, I've learned a lot from you today. I'm going to go back and listen to this episode or interview again. I feel like you're the kind of person who have talked to a lot of business owners, and you talk to like maybe 20 business owners, and those 20 business owners have different problems, right? And it's not all the same, because every person in every business is unique, and the solution for each problem also is unique. So I love it. So what would you say to entrepreneurs or business owners who'd like to have freedom in their business and more flexibility?
Well, so the one thing I would say, first of all, is keep believing in yourself. If it takes you looking in a mirror in the morning and saying out loud that what you're doing is that you believe in that, it's very important, because that's going to radiate to all of the, you know, your customers. It's going to radiate to employees. It's going to be to associates or whatever. You know, having that belief in what you're doing and the energy that you're putting behind it is worth it. That's first and foremost. Secondly, is tough as it may be, set your plan, and, you know, it's just block and tackle and execute to that plan. There may be other people, or there may be other businesses that are doing all this other stuff, but don't get distracted. Keep an eye on it. Keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening, but don't get distracted. You bought into it. You believe in what you're doing, and don't get sidetracked.
Right.
But then at the same time, constantly question, this sounds like a paradox, but you have to constantly question the direction that you're going, and knowing that because the market dynamics change, right? There are new competitors that come in at every time. And so being able to pick your head up and look around and ask questions of what's going on with other businesses and such, and reading the trade rags and, you know, understanding what's going on in the market and such, that's super important. And it's because if you just keep going this one way and there's a cliff over there, oops, you know, you need to make sure you can change and go in another direction that can get you up the mountain and get to the top. And so sticking to the, you know, the block and tackling is important, but listening what's going on, listening to advice, and that's a tough skill. I mean, being able to discern noise from valuable information, it's hard. And that's something that I don't think you can necessarily get, you know, be trained in school for something like that. There's something innate about that. And there are certain entrepreneurs that are a little bit better than others. That isn't to say that you can't learn over time, but I think that constantly, you know, testing yourself in that respect too is very important.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that you learn from school that you don't even apply in business.
Right.
Sometimes you learn just by doing it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, school is great. You know,
yeah, school is great. Yeah.
I've spent a lot, too much time in school, I think, for probably the necessary, but there's school smart and there's street smart, and you have to have a nice blend of that. And constantly refining that, how you get street smart, you know, the things that you pick up along the way, and being able to, you know, go back to, okay, what I learned in school over all this stuff. That's not, at least for my, what I'm doing right now, that's not really relevant. So I'll take the rest of what I've learned in school and use that as part of my street smarts, and then be able to blend that and make that happen and make changes. You know, it's just like the weather. I mean, things change, the climate changes. So you have to be flexible enough to implement that. And that may mean, hey, I got to delegate, I got to bring in other people, I got to change my business strategy in order to survive or to be successful.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. So believe in yourself, focus, and be aware of what's happening around you is important.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah, it seems like it's relatively simple, but...
Oh, no, they're not simple.
it could be kind of a challenge at times.
And believing...
When you're in the tornado, right, when it's all happening, you know, it's easy to get distracted. There are just so many things coming at you, literally, you know. Literally and figuratively. And being able to say, okay, and it may mean that you got to do some yoga. It may mean that you have to do some meditation.
Right.
It may be, you know, some other things that you do outside of work that can help you delineate what the noise is versus what's valuable.
I believe that
may be required as well.
Mm-hmm.
So having having the idea, I think that drinking coffee and work and 18-hour days and stuff, there may be some aspects to that, but there has to be somewhat of a balance too. And I strongly believe in that.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. All right. So where can people find you online?
So best place to find me is at thesizzle.com. It's spelled CYZL.com. It's Kevin at thesizzle.com. And certainly more than welcome to bring in new business or
if
people have questions and such. Keep an eye on the blog there. We post from time to time about Uber and Lyft and, you know, their business models and such, and if they're successful or not. I mean, there are a bunch of things that happen there. So absolutely, that's where I spend my time.
Awesome. I'll put those links in the show notes so they can find you. Thank you so much for your time, Kevin.
Yeah. Chrissy, thank you so much for your time as well. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay, you have a good day.
You too. Thank you for joining us this week on the Delegate Your Way to Success podcast. Make sure to visit our website, smartvas.online, where you can find out more about who we are and what we do, and to subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or via RSS so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Thanks and stay awesome!